Hello and welcome to Produced By. Just quickly before we begin, if you enjoy the show, please consider supporting it by joining our Patreon. You can choose from a list of memberships and will receive some exciting rewards. Thank you and back to the episode.
Hello Tommy, thank you for joining us today and welcome to the show.
Thank you, glad to be here.
So Tommy, can you please introduce yourself?
My name is Tommy Souza. I am a line producer or a production manager. That's my current position. I live in Sydney right now, Australia. I'm originally from California. I've been moving around a lot since I was a kid. I got into the visual effects industry about 8 years ago in LA. Started off working in Previs at a company called The Third Floor. And since then, kind of transferred into visual effects and worked at a number of different companies in the last few years, which has been great. I've been able to travel to a lot of different places, work on some really cool projects, meet a lot of really interesting people. And yeah, it's led me all the way to Australia, the other end of the world. So it's been a cool journey.
Exciting, literally across the whole world. I think I've never spoken with anyone from US or California. So can you tell us more? What was it like growing up in there?
Yeah, California was great. It's actually pretty similar to here, sunny beaches. Really laid back vibe. I lived in Northern California for a bit, and Southern California, just kind of all over the state. And it was a really good place to grow up, I think. And then, I bounced around. I lived in Alaska for a little bit. My parents were from the military, so I bounced around quite a bit.
So it was quite weather different.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I ended up moving to Montreal kind of in the beginning of my career. So I was used to the snow by then since I lived in Alaska. So it wasn't a big shock. But yeah. And then after I moved out of California and then to Montreal when I was kind of getting my career going, that was it. I haven't lived in the US since then. So that was about, when was that? 2018, I think, when I left the US. And I don't really have any plans to go back there either.
How come? You enjoy it outside or you don't miss it?
Nah, my parents are there and I have a lot of family and friends, but I'm not really itching to go back. I don't know. Just US isn't a big draw for me anymore. I think there's so many other cooler places in the world to live.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Like I love certain parts of America, but there's a lot of parts that I don't like about it either. So I'm just going to,
And what made you to start in the VFX industry or even into the arts in general?
Yeah, I always knew I wanted to work in movies since I was little. I just loved watching movies. I did theater in high school. I loved writing stuff, directing, plays and things like that. And I think I just liked being a creative person. And then I went to studied film in college. I majored in it. I went to UC Santa Barbara near LA. Really cool school. And then after that, I went to grad school for film directing and producing. And then I moved to LA where I was struggling for a bit. I had like three different jobs. I was working in restaurants. And this is after I had my master's. So I was like, why did I get these degrees if I'm like working in restaurants? I was struggling a bit. I worked at this this lighting company where you build lights that they put on sets. That was kind of a fun job. Like you're soldering stuff. You're like putting wires together. It was kind of a fun job. Didn't pay anything, really. And then I got an interview with a company called Stargate Studios, and they mostly do television visual effects for television, and they do shows like Walking Dead, Ray Donovan. Just kind of. Whatever, Orville, a bunch of shows. So that was kind of my first step into the industry is they hired me as a coordinator, kind of skipped the runner PA positions, just straight to coordinator. They didn't have PAs, I don't think. I know, actually they did. They did have PAs. But I went straight to VFX Cord and worked on a few different projects, Walking Dead, a show called, I don't even remember now, Pure something. But just a number of different TV shows. But I always knew I wanted to work in like features, big movies.
Yep.
So I worked there for about a year, and then I got an offer. I applied and got an offer at The Third Floor.
VFX Studio.
Yeah, and that was my first big movie. I worked on the Ant-Man and the Wasp, or Ant-Man and the Wasp, and the Previs side of things. I worked on that for about a year and a half. And that was
Was that in the US, or you moved to London by then?
No, that was in the US. Yeah, I was in LA for that.
And based on what you said, would you say that it's challenging to get into the industry in the US?
I would say it depends on what you're trying to do, because there's so many different kinds of paths you can go. I mean, I was a PA on set in LA a lot. Like, I worked on tons of little TV shows and stuff. It was cool because I would be on the sets. I'd go to like Warner Brothers or whatever, Universal or CBS, and go on all these lots. And it was a really cool experience because I didn't know if I wanted to be on set, you know, if I wanted to be like go into lighting or, you know, whatever camera side of things, or just kind of get my foot in the door with that. And I know it's a really hard, that's even harder, I think, than, you know, getting into maybe like post-production or VFX or, you know, whatever it is. It's just, I think, a little more demanding and a little more, you don't know when your next job is, because you're not really working for a company. You're basically just freelancing constantly. Yes. Like you finish one job and then you have to wait. And I would say is more word of mouth, working on sets. It's like, you work good, you get people's contacts, then they'll hit you up if they need someone to be another PA or whatever it is on another set. So I would say, I mean, for me, I felt there was more stability when I got into visual effects. You're working for a company, you get a contract, you know, you get to go in it's just a set schedule. I know a lot of people don't like that. They don't like the Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 or 6 or 7 or whatever it is. I like that, though. I like having stability. I like having a paycheck that's constantly coming. So I did like that. But I would say it was just, I got lucky with it, really. I kept applying to everything. And I didn't know I wanted to get into visual effects. The guy hired me for the Stargate place, and then it just kind of snowballed into where I am today. So I think I think a lot of people are like, yeah, you got to know the right people, which is true maybe for some jobs in the industry, for sure. Like if you're working on set, I would say, I think knowing people would help. If you're trying to be like someone that works in lighting or the camera department or something like that, or even like being a director or an editor, maybe not an editor as much, but like, yeah, everything on set, I think, is a little more, you know, iffy, you know, you don't know when you're gonna get the next job. But I think for visual effects, I think, or anything that's in post, there's a little more stability, and you get to work on really cool stuff. Like, everything's already shot and you get to work on really awesome projects. I think that was a big draw to me
And I guess both have its pros and cons, because I guess, for example, with working on set, you often get a question if you seen any famous, you know, actors or directors. So actually when you're on set, I guess you get the experience and then you can say, oh yeah, I did.
Yeah. I mean, even now people ask me that and I'm like, no, it's been shot already. We work on all this stuff. And
I feel the same before.
Yeah. I'm like, oh yeah, I work on Aquaman. First thing people ask are like, oh, did you meet Jason Momoa? I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Not that long, months ago in a different country. not how it works. But yeah, when I worked on set in LA, I did run into famous people. You know, just being in the studio lots, there's like people walking by. I mean, just living in LA, really, just kind of go to a coffee shop and see somebody. You know, when I was working in restaurants, like I was a cook and famous people would come through.
Really? Can you name some?
Yeah, I worked at this restaurant called Jones on Third, which is a very popular restaurant in LA. They serve like all different kinds of foods. Very stressful, though. Probably one of the most stressful jobs I've ever had. It's like wake up at 3-4 in the morning, start work at 5, work till 2. But I was right next to some studios. Steve Carell, Jason Bateman, Minnie Driver.
Cool. Big names from the Hollywood.
Who else was there? I mean, in my life, I've met quite a few. I've met Ryan Gosling when I was in France at the Cannes Film Festival. I was on this show that Terry Crews was hosting. It was like an America's Funniest Video thing. I worked on that as a PA. Yeah, just a bunch of different, you know, random.
Well, at least you can answer the question if you've seen any famous people. You don't know which one to pick.
Yeah, and also, like, it was cool that my first movie, Ant-Man, because I was in the previs part of things, like I was in meetings with just me, my supervisor, and the director. So I was like, oh, this is awesome. Is this, it's going to be like this for the whole time. I think it was, I actually prefer previs. To me, it's a little more creative than visual effects.
Yeah,
because you're working closely with the director and you're getting feedback right away. And because they're not shooting, they're like basing what you're making and then kind of shooting it, you know? So you actually work a lot closer with that on the creative side of things rather than like visual effects. Everything's already shot. You're just, I mean, I don't want to like simplify it. I'm not, you don't, you're just adding all this stuff into it, but I'd say kind of, at least in terms of like storytelling and stuff, kind of, there's not as much as that as in previs. So I did enjoy working on it. I worked on Ant-Man and then I worked on Ms. Marvel. Those are the two projects I've worked on.
Yeah, I was about to ask you more about the previs, but before that, I've got one more question because you mentioned before that you did also a master's. Would you say that it helps you to get into the industry if you've got a degree or it doesn't really matter?
Honestly, I don't know. I would say maybe I got the coordinator job because of my degrees. Like I skipped the PA thing. Maybe he's the dude that interviewed me was like, oh, okay, he's, you know, a serious guy. He has like his qualifications. So maybe in some ways it can. I'd say in the end, the stuff that I learned from it didn't really help at all. Unless, you know, I mean, I remember all that stuff, but I didn't become a big famous director or anything. Or like, you know, I think like the people I met are cool, but I don't really stay in touch with them. I think it was kind of a waste of money, to be honest. I think it's cool that I can say, yeah, I have my master's. I got it printed out and all that. And it is a cool kind of thing to say. But in the end, I would say you don't really need it now.
Yeah. And I guess maybe good for connections, but I don't know.
Yeah, it depends. You know, like I moved away. All those people are still in California, I think. And honestly, I mean, I'm Facebook friends with them. Some of them don't do film stuff anymore. They moved on. They're doing something else. They got married. You know, people. That was a while ago, so they're doing different things now. I would say of all kind of my graduating class, which was pretty small from my master's thing, I'm still, I don't know, I guess the most successful in the industry. Of all the people, just in that I'm still working in the industry and on big stuff. So,
You know, in a few years, VFX producer or something.
Something, yeah, we'll see. I don't know what's going to happen, but yeah.
So coming back to previs, can you introduce more? What is it that you do in the previs and where is it in the pipeline?
Yeah, so previs, I was a visualization coordinator. In the pipeline, it's the very first thing. So you get the script, you work closely with the director, you basically see what shots are going to need visual effects. And some of the shots don't even need visual effects. It's almost like a really cool way to storyboard stuff. So the director and the cinematographer and everybody can like see how the shot's going to be played out, where the camera should move, how it should, you know, how it's going to move, where to place all the actors, like blocking. But then it's also very heavily influenced by what visual effects are going to be needed. It helps the visual effects soups on the client side, like figure out what kind of, like, for example, what kind of superpowers, what they're going to look like, how they're going to interact with stuff. So it's like a way to like brainstorm stuff and also like block things out and see what needs to be, what shots need to be removed or what needs to be added. And it kind of looks like, you know, like a video game. So it's like really fast turnaround. There's not a lot of departments. It's basically just people that are called shot creators. So they have, there's asset, you know, there's also assets. So there's people that are building the assets, the sets and the people and the characters and the props and stuff. And then there's the shot creators, which basically takes all that. And then they just take the camera, they add all the stuff, they even do all the animation and all that to make a very like bare bones shot. And then there's an editor and then they edit that together. We send it off to the client and they're like, all right, this is cool. Let's add in this. Let's change this. And then it's a lot of back and forth. And then, you work closely with the director. You're getting feedback from the director all the time. Yeah,
it's really cool to work with the actual director, such a big person.
It is fun because, you know, in visual effects, it's mostly you're dealing with the, on the client side, and you have meetings, you're talking to the VFX soup on their side. And then they'll mm-hmm. be like, okay, well, we're going to go, I'm going to go talk to the director and then get back to whatever they say. That's usually how it goes. I mean, sometimes I've been in meetings where the director's there, and like, you know, saying stuff usually on yeah. Zoom or something. I mean, ever since COVID or whatever, but there have been some meetings in, since I've been in visual effects where the director is in the meeting or like, you know, video call. But mostly not. Mostly they do their own stuff with, if you're on the client side, they're doing their meetings with them instead of the vendors. Yeah.
Yep. Can you say roughly how long before the actual shoot it happens?
The previs?
Yeah. Or does it happen during the shoot?
It happens sometimes before, but even usually during. And then, it happens before. And I would say not that much in advance. Sometimes even just like a week or two in advance. Mm-hmm. So not like months and months in advance. And then while that's happening, we'll get footage back and we add, it's called post-viz. So we'll get the footage and it'll be just a rough like thing of us adding the pre-viz into their plates, the footage.
Yep.
So then you'll see just like the actors and all that against blue screen or whatever. And then we'll add the background, we'll add the superpowers. They're not finals. They don't look anything like what you'll see in the screen, but it's just a way to for the director to see what needs to be changed and all that. And that's happening while they're shooting. We'll just be getting like footage the next day after they did their shoot the day before.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine it must be, as you said, fast turnaround and quite a pressure if shoot is just approaching and you want to get it as soon as possible.
Yeah, it is. But I will say the one good thing about pre-viz, post-viz is that it's just way more simplified than visual effects. It doesn't have to go through animation, which then has to get kicked back to like, you know, maybe like mm-hmm. whatever. I mean, everything has to go through lighting and then comp and then maybe has to like change the fur and has to go back to, so you don't need to do any of that stuff. Just go straight to the shot creator person. They fix it up and then send it off. So it's a lot simpler, and that's why it's a lot faster. Mm-hmm. Instead of, you know, making it look picture perfect for the screen.
Was previous something that you wanted to do, or did you get in there once you were accepted into the company?
I never even really knew about it until I got hired. Because all I knew was visual effects, and then the third floor hired me, and I was like, they're working on all these cool movies, and that's when I learned what previs was. And to me, it's like a super vital thing, because even like the visual effects, we're looking at previs stuff from whatever company, usually the third floor, and we kind of base off, you know, camera moves and all that based off the previs that we get. So it's a really key thing, I think, for the whole process, just in the pipeline. Yeah. And no, I didn't know what it was. I had no idea until I started working there. And then I was like, oh, this is awesome. And honestly, like, yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'll go back to previs one day.
So after working in there, what did you do afterwards, or how did you get where we are now?
After that, I got an offer to move to Montreal with MPC to work on X-Men Dark Phoenix as a visual effects coordinator. I was DMP, so environments, and I was on as DMP for like a few months working on X-Men.
Can you do a little introduction to DMP?
Yeah, so it's like digital matte painting, which is what it stands for, which is like it's a department that is, it updates like all the stuff that you see in environments. So it could be buildings, it could be mountains, it could be sky, it could be roads. And that includes, I mean, it could be like rocks and water, anything that's part of the environment. So it's a lot of it is removing blue screen and adding in, you know, cool stuff in the background. And so it's DMP, but it's also environments. Environments will do more of the CG stuff. DMP is more, more like painting, you know, like we'll be painting over roads and making that stuff like bigger or sky or whatever. So it's kind of a mix of departments, DMP and environments. That's what I worked on X-Men.
Where is it in the pipeline?
It's towards the beginning, because you can kind of work in tandem at the same time as like, say, animation is doing their thing. So it's kind of towards the beginning and kind of throughout. It's kind of its own department, but I mean, a lot of stuff depends on it. It's kind of in the, I would say a little bit after layout, and then animation starts, and then after that happens, then people can start working on environments throughout the whole pipeline, basically. Like, it's never like lighting and animation. I mean, animation isn't waiting for environments, you know, they're doing their own thing. And
yeah. Sorry, I interrupted before. You were saying that you were working on X-Men Dark Phoenix, right?
Yeah. So I worked on that for about a year at MPC. After that, I worked on this movie called Noelle, which was this Christmas movie with the Pitch Perfect girl.
I'm not gonna lie, I probably don't know the film.
I forgot. Noelle. Oh, it wasn't great. It went to Netflix, and it was like a cute family Christmas movie. But that's when MPC decided to, instead of having just coordinators for each department, kind of break it up and do it by, what did we do it by? I think I got two or three departments at that point. I was doing FX and animation or something like that. And I worked on that for about a year.
Was it a lot of work for you to handle if you're overlooking different departments?
I think it was important, especially in terms of my career growth, to know how other departments work instead of just sticking with one. I think they did that on purpose so that, you know, people can figure out how the pipeline works, you know, how things are fed into the next department. I think it was a good thing. And then I don't know what they're doing now. I think they reintegrated how they do their production stuff. But I'm not sure. There was too many super happy people at MPC. I think a lot of people left when I was there.
Okay. So I guess you left as well afterwards.
Yeah, they transferred me over to Mr. X. Mr. X, I was there for 6 months, and they mostly do television stuff, some movies, but...
X, is it like a specific project or a studio?
It's another studio that's also owned by Technicolor. So it's like MPC, under the Technicolor company, there's MPC, Mr. X, and there's another one too. But it's under the same umbrella thing. So that's why they could just transfer me over. It's still Technicolor that owns it.
Was it still in Montreal?
Yeah, that was still in Montreal. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I worked there for a little bit, and then COVID happened. And then they were letting people go. They had to or whatever. So I was one of the people. They let go of all their coordinators. There's just no work. Everything was on pause. I mean, we all remember COVID. And luckily, right when that happened, a week later, I got an offer from Scanline. So I worked at Scanline. I worked on the Suicide Squad, the James Gunn movie, for about a year. And I was a comp coordinator, and I was comp and animation, I believe, mostly comp. And I worked on that for about a year. And that was the first kind of, you know, everyone's experimenting with, can we work from home? How is it, you know? So that was kind of the first movie that I worked on working from home fully. And it went well. But that was kind of an interesting transition, you know, from being in the office all the time to working at home fully. And now everyone's used to it, and we can do it.
It sounds like you had already great overview of different departments.
Yeah, I think it was important. And I don't know if I've requested it some of them, but they just gave it to me. I've done at DNEG on Aquaman. That's when I was a line producer, but I was more in charge of the front end of things. So it'd be layout and animation and rigging. And I didn't do assets, but I think you did assets, didn't you?
I did build on creature.
So I was at Scanline. I did comp there. I was there for about a year. And then I got an offer from Framestore to become a line producer. So I was like, all right, well, I'm going to do that for sure. So I left Scanline. Became a line producer. This is still in Montreal. And my first line producer movie was Moonfall, which was okay. It's on
Netflix, isn't it?
Yeah, it's on Netflix now. Roland Emmerich directed it, you know, end of the world thing that he likes to do. And there's alien stuff in it. But yeah, it was cool to work on that as my first movie as a line producer. More responsibility, you know, now I'm in charge of talking to the coordinators every day, making sure that, you know, they're doing, managing their tasks. I'm updating milestones and kind of looking at the overall schedule now, talking closely with, production manager. Yeah, so it was a bit of a change, but I liked it. I think I was ready for it. And I've been a line producer now for 3 years, 3.5 years.
Yep. I'm curious, because you still stayed in Montreal. Is Montreal like a kind of Canadian hub of VFX studios, something like London?
Yeah, it is. I'd say Montreal, the most, I would say, in just in North America and, you know, in Canada, I would say Montreal, Toronto, and Vancouver are the big VFX hubs of the West. Like more than the US, more than LA, Montreal, Toronto, and Vancouver, yeah.
Is that because of the, I don't know, talent or thanks to government or?
Yeah, government tax. I'm not really sure where they are. Like, people think on like LA or New York or something, but no, it's Canada. Montreal has, I think they might have ILM too, but they have most of the major VFX companies there. And I would say Vancouver does too. Vancouver has like ILM, MC, Framestore.
I was going to say as well that you had opportunity to try such a big studios, like kind of the biggest ones or the most famous ones.
And I've worked at a lot of the big ones. Yeah. And then, and then DNEG, right? I got an offer in London for DNEG and then flew to London and worked on Aquaman 2 for about a year and a half. And then after that, worked on a couple other projects with DNEG until the strikes happened, and then they started downsizing. Yeah. And then because my contract ended, they weren't going to renew it. So I was kind of I didn't know what to do at that point. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to have to go back to the States or whatever. But then I had applied to Australia ILM in Sydney months ago before that, but didn't hear back from them because the strikes had just happened. So there was no work. So I had my interviews with them like a week before all the strikes happened. So then I was like, okay, well, they're just not going to get back to me. But then, yeah, like a week after DNEG, I said goodbye to DNEG. I heard from them, and luckily they were like, yeah, we have an offer for you. Like, do you want to come out to Sydney? So I was like, yeah, please.
Another exciting opportunity.
Yes, very. So I was like, oh my God. I always wanted to live in Australia too. Just, and to me, like, I'm like, yeah, literally, like, Canada, London, Australia, like, let's go.
If you want to boost your online presence, check out our digital marketing agency called Trailblazed. You can also enroll in our Skillshare course called The 10 Tips on How to Succeed in Your Creative Career, which was inspired by the podcast. Lastly, make sure to subscribe to our weekly newsletter called Creative Spotlight to stay up to date with the show and more. Links are in the show notes. Thanks.
Sorry, I jumped a bit before, but I was going to ask you, when you progressed into working as LP, was that something that you wanted, or did it happen naturally thanks to your progression?
It's definitely something I wanted. I think it was the next big step for me in terms of, progressing in my career. I think I might have applied for the production manager position, and then my interview was for that. But then they were like, well, you haven't, you know, we have another role that's above a coordinator, but below a production manager, and it's a line producer position, and we want to offer that to you. And I was like, oh, that's perfect. Because, I mean, honestly, I wasn't, at that point, I wasn't ready to manage the whole schedule just coming from coordinator to PM, you know?
Yeah.
And Framestore.
That's what I was thinking as well. It sounds quite a big step.
Actually, weirdly, at Framestore, there was no PM position. So when I worked at Moonfall, it was like me, I had another LP. We basically broke it up by sequences. So, like, I did half and then she did half. And then the producer was kind of our main, she was like the PM / producer, but weirdly at Framestore, there is no, I don't, maybe it's changed now, but there was no PM. It was just line producers and producer. So in a way we were like semi production managers at the same time, but I don't know if that's changed. That's why when I went to DNEG, I kind of liked that I had more time to like learn how to become a production manager. And I'm sure that'll be my next, whenever that's going to happen. Next year or two, who knows? But at least I'll have had time to like be a line producer and kind of know how to to do that for a few years now.
Yeah, and I can imagine that it's much more helpful or beneficial, thanks to your experience of working across various departments as coordinator, that you know what the people under you, those coordinators that you are working with, what are their tasks, what they are, basically that you understand them.
Definitely. I think it's a very key thing to know what, the people that you're guiding, because it's also, you're like mentoring too, but you're also trying to work on a cool movie, and it's good to know what they have to do day to day. And that is one thing, I don't really deal with the artists too much anymore. That is something I do miss a little bit, but it is good to know, like, at least talking to the chords, how they're handling their day-to-day responsibilities, checking in, making their tasks, filling in the durations and all that for how long these tasks are going to be. And it's a lot of back and forth, but it's a good thing. It's important for them also, and to see how they are progressing in their own careers too.
Yeah. So the offer from Dinec, was that the reason for you to move to London?
Yeah. I had the offer. I mean, I always wanted to live in London. That was like a dream, mostly because I just wanted to travel around Europe, but also is another good opportunity for just advancing in my career. It was the same position. I was line producer, but I think I was just ready to move on. And I know DNEG is, great company. They work on really cool movies, and it was in London, so I couldn't say no to that. And I was there for 2 years and really took advantage of not only just like working at DNEG, but I mean, living in Europe was, really cool. Mm.
Yeah, I'm curious if you, as someone who's got experience from different places, especially such big cities across continents, can you do a little comparison of different cultures, or how did you find it where you moved to different places? What was it like?
Well, Montreal, I think, is very laid back. I wouldn't say like as laid back as like California, maybe, but I'm almost like it's smaller. It's a smaller city. We have really, really crazy winters and all that. But I don't know. I would say that everyone's really cool. It's French and English. I think primarily a lot of people speak French there, but you can get by knowing English. You don't have to know French. And I never felt like weird not being able to speak French. Everyone, for the most part, spoke English. I mean, some people don't even speak French there too. So it was just a lot of different, it was very diverse, a lot of different cultures there. London, same thing. London's a lot busier. Obviously, it's a huge city, one of the biggest, and more expensive for sure. But I think if you find a good place and are don't spend too much, you can have a really great time there. I had a really good time, and all my spending was mostly just going on like city breaks, weekend trips to different countries. And I never thought people were some people are like, oh well, London people can be standoffish or whatever. I didn't really get that. Or even when I went to Paris or something, but maybe I'm just oblivious to people that are rude or whatever like that. But I had a really good time there. I would say I don't know how long I'm going to be in Australia. If not forever, then maybe I'd move back to London, or I don't know, Vancouver. It's kind of just, I'll go with the flow, whatever.
Yeah. Next. Yeah. And you never know what happens next. No one was expecting COVID. No one was expecting strikes and what happened.
Yeah, I know. It's been back and back, like just a lot of stuff being hurled at us. Eventually, once I settle down, have a family, I'll like some stability probably where I'm staying. I wouldn't like to be bouncing around, dragging my family with me the whole time. But for now.
Were there some maybe culture shocks that surprised you and you would like to mention, maybe when you moved to a different city and you didn't expect?
Well, for Montreal, definitely the language, that was a different thing. Just the French. I mean, I felt like I was living in Europe, and the weather, but culturally, I don't know. I mean, I guess it just depends on who you're hanging out with that. Cause where I lived, I met a lot of European people. I lived with it was 3 floors of, different students or young workers or whatever, and they'd be from, Italy or Spain or wherever. So it was just a mix of different people. And then the locals in Montreal too were really friendly. I mean, Canada's known for being very friendly.
Haven't you even tried to learn French?
I did, yeah. My girlfriend is from Montreal, and her first language is French. So, yeah, I have tried to learn. I'm still learning. It's a tough language to learn, but slowly and surely I'll get it. And
At
then, yeah,
least you can practice. No excuses.
I can practice. I'll keep practicing. I gotta get my Duolingo back. And then, yeah, London culture shock. I mean, not really. I don't know. I think I've just traveled so much. I just acclimate really easily to different places. I mean, even here now, their accent is a little bit similar to the British accent, but a bit different. But yeah, I think here people are a little more go to bed early, wake up early, do really active stuff, rather than London is like go to a pub, stay out late. Meaning you're used to
Pop
the hanging.
culture.
Yeah, it's very much pub culture here. Stuff here closes early for a lot of places. I think here it's more, very active lifestyle. People like to go to the beach. They like to surf. They like to, yeah, stay healthy. And I'm not saying London's like that, not like that, but I think it's just because of the weather and the opportunities to like outdoor stuff. So that's a bit different here.
And is Sydney also kind of a hub for VFX, that there are plenty of studios?
I wouldn't say it's as huge as London or Montreal. I think there's a handful. Like the ILM studio here just opened in 2019, so it's fairly new. And I know there's like Animal Logic here, maybe like two or three more, but there's definitely not as much as London. I don't think like Framestore's out here or DNEG. No, DNEG is out here actually.
I remember they were opening, but I don't know if it changed because of the strikes.
Yeah, no, DNEG is out here. I had an interview with them too. But then the strikes happened and I even reached out and they were like, yeah, because I know I had a really great interview.
So now, once you moved in, do you feel like you settled completely?
I'm pretty settled. Luckily, I found a place pretty fast to live. That is one thing about moving to a new place, especially like in London and Sydney. It's very pricey. You're competing with a lot of people that are trying to find apartments, so it can be. But I got lucky. The first place I went to worked out really good. I live in a cool neighborhood next to trains, so I can go to work. I go to work 2 days a week to the office, and then 3 days at home. So it's hybrid. But yeah, it's been nice so far. I'm settling in. It's only been a few weeks, but feels like home now.
Yeah, sounds like a beautiful and amazing place and just a new exciting opportunity.
Yeah, I don't know how long I'll be here. I have a year contract, and then we'll see what happens if they'll extend it or not. Or
And with rich portfolio of the projects you worked on, can you expand on some projects that maybe you enjoyed working on or for some reason is just worth talking about?
let me think. Well, I really did like Ant-Man, like I said, because that was the previz side of things. In terms of like visual effects movies that I really enjoyed, I don't know. I would say, well, X-Men was a big one for me because it was my first one. It was my first
Dark
time.
Phoenix one.
Dark Phoenix, yeah. What wasn't like a super great movie, but I think it was just the fact that it was my first big movie and I was working in visual effects. I was learning the pipeline. It was a big learning process for me. It was also the first time that I lived in a different country and I was like, just the whole thing was fun and exciting and a little scary, but in the end, I think that was a special movie. Just in terms of it was a big step, going into visual effects. After that, yeah, I don't know. They've all kind of meshed together. I'd say, I really liked Suicide Squad just because I thought it was a funny movie. Some of the shots were really cool to work on, in terms of like creativity. I think that was maybe one of my favorite movies that I've worked on.
I feel like it must be cool just to work on a movie of James Gunn.
Yeah, I know. It's funny because I was going to work on Superman, and that got changed. But I was like, all right, well, I guess I already did a James Gunn movie, so that's okay. But it was going to be cool because it's like the first, DC part of that because they're like discontinuing the other one, the whole franchise, and they're kind of rebooting it. So I thought that would have been cool to be on. But the one I'm Yeah, the movie I'm currently on, I think, will be cool too. And that'll come out later this year.
Yeah, we're
But
excited to find out what it is in a few months, maybe.
you'll find out. And then, I don't know. I honestly really like working on Aquaman. That was my first London, you know, movie, and I had a really good team of people. I mean, you were on it, so.
It was just brief, but I was overexcited when I joined.
Yeah. It was also an interesting movie. It was fun. There were some funny things, some cool scenes in it. And I was on that for a long time, like a year and a half or something like that. But that was fun too. And there's a couple others, but I don't know if I should mention it because they're not released yet.
So what about some dream projects? Are you a fan of maybe some saga or specific director or something?
I'd love to work on like Dune 3 or something. And something that's like super epic, Academy Award nominated type of movie. I've worked on so many superhero things, and they're fun.
Are you a fan of superheroes?
Yeah, I'm a fan of like whatever. I'll watch all that stuff. I'm a fan. I wouldn't say I'm like a major fan, but I mean, I read comics and graphic novels and things, and I like working on the movies. I'm not like super into Aquaman or something like that. But I like working on them, and I would say I'm a fan, but I'm not like an ultra fan. You know, I'd rather work on like Dune, you know, or like I don't know, some other like sci-fi cool like Alien or something like that.
And as someone who's got such experience in VFX, is there some kind of asset or specific scene or shot or film that you remember for its beautiful or great VFX?
I mean, honestly, I just saw Dune 2 not long ago, and that like blew me away. I was like, this movie, I don't know, it made me feel like a kid again. Even just the first like shots, you know, like, I don't know if you've seen it.
No, I'm ashamed to say this, but I should see it in upcoming days. I still haven't seen it.
Okay, we'll go see it. Like, and I don't know if you've seen the first one, but it's better than the first one.
First one was awesome. I didn't go to IMAX, but it was amazing. I was
you'll really love the second one. Yeah, I don't know. Just off the top of my head, most recently, I would say that. Like, go see that. And that was like what it reminds me to like be excited to go to the movie theaters again.
More than perfect example.
Yeah, that was, I'd say, like Dune 2 was sick.
Yeah, and something we already discussed before about your future aspirations, but coming back to it, is like your next goal to become a PM?
I think so. That's what's going to happen if I want to keep doing this, and I think I will. It's definitely a more stressful job because you're looking over everything. and then it just gets even more stressful after that. Then you're a producer. We'll see. I don't know. I might branch off and do like, I don't know, maybe work on a different side of a VFX company, or I don't know. I'm pretty open to whatever comes my way. The natural progression of things would become a production manager. Yeah.
That's nice. So if we step out of VFX, do you want to tell us about your hobbies or what you do? As I'm not mistaken, you take pictures, right?
Yeah, I do portrait photography. That's a big hobby. I started in Montreal, and then I got a big following. I got like 16,000 on Instagram, and it's I got really into Photoshop. If you look my stuff up, it's Tommy A. Souza. So it's my name with A because it's my middle name. So Tommy A. Souza is my handle on Instagram, and it's
I will link it to the show notes.
It's mostly portrait photography. It's all portrait photography, and then just like really heavy editing in terms of like sometimes I'll add, it looks like visual effects or something. It's all Photoshop, but yeah, just like could be a creature, superpowers, or just really like heavy. Like I'm really into colors and really vibrant, moody type vibes. But I've been doing that for, since Montreal. So it's been a few years now. That's one of my big hobbies. In terms of other stuff.
Is it just as a hobby or is it like also like a freelancing?
I've gotten paid.
More serious?
Yeah. I've gotten paid for it for either the model would pay me, or I've also gotten gigs where I'm like helping people edit. I'll do like FaceTimes or, Zoom calls and teaching them how to use Photoshop, or I'll get pictures sent to me where I'll edit the pictures and send it back and then get paid that way. Or it'll just be like, trade time for photos. So it'll just be like a collaborative type thing. Yeah. So that's one of my bigger hobbies for sure.
Yeah, were you going to mention some other big hobby? Because I feel like I interrupted you.
I run a lot. I got back into scuba diving recently. I mean, just living in Sydney now, it's like such an active place. So I'm also just becoming more active since I've been here.
It isn't kind of Sydney perfect place for scuba diving. If I'm not mistaken, there is the reef from kind of Nemo.
I dived the Great Barrier Reef last weekend, actually.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Up in Cairns, it's called, and fly there. But yeah, it was really beautiful. And in Sydney too, lots of snorkeling, surfing, scuba diving. Just all around, like lots of stuff. Yeah. Not a lot of wind, so you can't really do any wind sports, but a lot of water stuff.
But I bet it's a beautiful change from London, the weather.
Yeah. Much more you can do for sure. If you're an active person, then yeah, lots of stuff.
Yeah. So with your rich career and experience, can you share some advice from your career? Maybe for someone who wanted to get into industry, or something that you would do differently if you were starting again?
Sure. My advice would be stick to it. Like, I know it can be discouraging and you could be told no a lot, but I think if you're passionate about it, then keep trying. Because no matter what, like, you'll get something eventually. Like, I didn't know I was going to become getting into visual effects, and it ended up working out really well for me. It, like, changed my life by working at this little company in LA, working on little TV shows. Now I'm, you know, all the way in Sydney working on really big movies. And I think try and figure out what you're most interested in, because the industry has so many different departments and different ways that you can get into it. And I think, like, finding out what you're passionate about will really help kind of narrow down what you should be focusing on, who you should be like interviewing with and applying for. I think that really helps. I mean, even now, especially with all the technology that's out there, there's so many new jobs opening up. I mean, it sounds scary because I know there's jobs that are also closing because of technology, but also it's opening up a lot of new things too. So I think it's an exciting time to get into, especially if you're getting into visual effects or post stuff. There's so much new, like even AI, there's a lot of stuff that's evolving and opening up new things.
Cool. Yeah. So you mentioned that people can check out your Instagram, which I will link to, but are there other channels where you are active or where people can follow you?
No, just Instagram mostly. Like, I don't really use TikTok. I mean, I just use it to watch stuff. But no, mostly just Instagram. You know, I got Facebook and stuff, but just in terms of social media that I like show my stuff, it's just Instagram.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, perfect. So as we will be finishing, if you want to, I don't know, promote yourself, or if there is something I forgot to ask you, or you want to share something, now it's your time.
No, I think that's all good. Yeah, I mean, yeah, check out my Instagram. You know, if you want to follow me, that's fine. Yeah, it's just
if you want to edit pictures, some efforts.
Yeah, if anyone wants to send me pics or, you know, to edit, I'd be happy to do that. But yeah, that's it.
Yeah, great. And so thank you, Tommy. I really appreciate it that, you know, you joined me on the podcast. It was great to catch up, because I remember that we worked together on a few projects. And, you know, sounds amazing that you are working in Sydney and on such a project. So I wish you good luck, and thank you.
Amazing. Thanks so much.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please leave us a 5-star review on your favorite podcast app, get in touch to provide your feedback, or share any ideas for future guests. Thank you, and see you soon.